welcome back to Rocket Right Radio. I am Hurricane Betsy Barnes here with Veronica Mosgrove, and this segment is being brought to you by Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center.
When you or someone you love is diagnosed with cancer, it can be all-encompassing, and every cancer experience is different. The staff and physicians at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center, will surround you with highly individualized resources and care to meet your every need and preference. Visit MaryBirdLake.org to learn more.
And we're so glad that Dr. John Lyons could be with us today. Thank you so much, Dr. Lyons, for coming. He's a surgeon at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center, and we want to ask a few questions about cancer surgery. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to talk with us about this important topic.
My pleasure.
So we want to first ask, is it safe for people to have cancer surgery right now? You know, there's been so many elective surgeries held off. Tell us a little bit about the safety of people who maybe have had to delay their surgery for the last several weeks, and now what do they need to know?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So first of all, we never really stopped completely doing cancer surgery. We were able to continue with surgeries, especially for urgent and emergent cases, for the past 2 months. The question now is for those folks that were delayed, is it safe? The answer is yes. We are really very close to full capacity in terms of where we were before all of this started. We're performing cancer procedures daily, and we have a very robust mechanism to check patients and healthcare practitioners, preoperatively to ensure that our patients are able to get the best outcome possible.
And I know that some people may have thought about delaying because of the pandemic and just, of course, the fear of facing some of the things with cancer. But as we know, the sooner you get in, the sooner your outcome is going to be a positive one. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, the time is always ticking when someone has an active malignancy. And so we want to embark on treatment as soon as possible. And if surgery is the treatment that we need to do, then yeah, trying to do that surgery in a timely fashion is certainly advantageous.
Dr. Lyons, this is Veronica Mosgrove. A lot of people are uncertain and scared to come to a hospital these days. What kind of precautions are you all taking for cancer patients needing surgery?
Yeah, that's a great question. So all patients, family members, and team members are all screened. In particular, if someone is scheduled to have a surgery, those individuals are screened by their surgeon and then the preoperative staff as part of their preoperative assessment. COVID testing is performed or offered for anyone who has been exposed or anyone who has a procedure that will be high risk of shedding particles, for anyone who for whom there's a suspicion based on symptoms, and also for anyone who can't give a history. If someone comes to the hospital and is in a position where they're not able to tell us whether they have been exposed or have any of the aforementioned symptoms, then they will be tested. So we do have tests that there are different tests, some that take a few days and some that are rapid. And we are using those and making sure that everybody gets their surgery safely.
So
other factors we have the section of the hospital dedicated to COVID patients, which is separate from the general population of patients in the hospital. So best practices include dedicating an OR to the COVID patient. So if there is a COVID patient that needs operative intervention, they go to a specific COVID dedicated operating room that's separate from where non-COVID patients will have their surgery.
And that's so important for family members to understand too, because not only is the patient fearful maybe of what they're facing, but the uncertainty of their family members is, are they going to be exposed? Are their family members and the loved ones that have been diagnosed with cancer, are they going to be crossing paths with somebody with COVID-19? And the answer is absolutely not, right?
Yeah, to the best of our ability, that is correct. Yes. That's exactly right. We've taken great measures to screen everybody based on symptoms and based on exposure. And so, no, that's right. Anybody that has a known infection will be quarantined from the rest of the population, for sure. And those patients, those caregivers who care for COVID patients typically, you know, just care for COVID patients, and they don't usually cross-reference.
Dr. Lyons, go over some of the screening processes that that people should expect when they come in for surgery.
Yeah, so it's typically a question and answer process about exposure and symptoms and activities in the past few weeks. And people who are felt to have a high risk, either because of the procedure or their baseline health or their exposure, will be tested. This includes not only patients, but it also includes the caregivers, you know, so that we want to be able to identify anybody who potentially has an infection and separate them from the rest of the crew.
What kind of protective equipment is the surgical team using?
Yeah, great question. So we all use CDC-approved PPE, protective equipment, masks, face shields, gloves, gowns, eye protection in order to protect healthcare professionals. And we're asking that patients wear a mask when arriving for their procedure. And all of these processes have been designed to prevent the spread of the virus to other patients and to team members and to healthcare professionals.
We've seen a lot of facilities using telemedicine during this time. Is this something that the surgeons are able to implement, especially if somebody just needs to talk with their doctor and doesn't feel up to coming in?
Yeah, it's been a really good thing, I think, in enhancing our communication with patients, with their families through telemedicine. For those who may not be aware, this is a platform where we are able to video conference the patient and their physicians through video and audio technology that is carefully protected to ensure the patient's privacy is maintained. So there's been a lot of care taken to ensure that patient privacy is maintained through these video and audio platforms. But yes, it enables us to perform a virtual history and visit with the office visit basically with the patient where they do not have to necessarily come into the office. We can do this from a remote setting. And in many cases, the patient can be in their house, and not have to come to the office. And in some cases, the doctor or the practitioner may not need to be in the office. They can do it from a remote location as well. And in some cases, we have done elective surgeries on patients for high-risk cancers that we have never met in person until the day of the procedure, because telemedicine enables us to communicate and assess their pre-surgical needs without having them come to the facility. That's not everybody. There are still some people for whom it really is necessary to meet in person and do a proper hands-on physical exam. And some patients prefer that. And for those people, we obviously still offer office visits, but the capability of doing telemedicine has really, I think, improved our safety a lot. And it's enabled us to get away from putting a lot of patients in one waiting room, which is not something anybody wants to experience right now. So it's advantageous for many different fronts.
So you've really seen an improvement in the communication between doctors, the full team of caregivers with the patients. It just seems like a great way to interact and perhaps see more patients in a day. Would you say that that's possible?
Yeah, I don't know if we're seeing more patients in a day, but I do think that we are seeing many patients remotely, and it's just more efficient for the patient rather than having to essentially drive to a doctor's office and park and then find the doctor's office and then sit in the waiting room for a while and check in and all that kind of stuff. There's still a check-in process that goes on, but it seems to be a lot more efficient and a lot more convenient for the patients and a lot more respectful of their time. I think, than having them come in to the office, especially if it's a routine visit that maybe isn't, you know, doesn't necessarily need, you know, a hands-on physical exam. So much of what we do is radiologic. A lot of times, a lot of our visit depends on images, scans that were done, and it's depending less on an actual hands-on physical exam. And if that's the case, then a virtual visit is really a great opportunity to spare the patient, you know, the need to have to do all those things we just talked about. You know,
Dr. John Lyons,
and throw themselves.
Excuse me for interrupting you. We're so thankful that you could be with us, and people can go to marybirdlake.org for more information, and we'll be right back with Rocket Right Radio.
Betsy and Kay will be right back with more Rocket Right Radio in just a moment.